Father, we just thank you this morning and bless your holy name for sparing our dear friend Ruth. We pray, Lord, that you will just heal that heart. Keep her with us because we love her, and I know you love her more, but we love her too much. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love for each one of us. And as we begin to finish this lesson in Romans 8, oh, Lord, what a blessing it is to have learned so much about sound doctrine and your grace and your mercy in saving even us, Lord, from the condition that we were in before we came to know you by your grace through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to give you all the glory as we look at one more way how you made sure that we understand these truths. Before we get into any other section of this book, to know your eternal plan, your sovereignty, and then how we can walk in a manner worthy of your calling, but how you've prepared us for every single thing you would ever ask us to do and given us the power to do it. And Lord, we thank you and ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. It is so neat to see the way this chapter starts. It's page 101. Okay. of Romans 8. As we look at these truths one more way this time, before we finish next week. Next week is our last lesson in this part of our study of Romans. So we will finish studying chapter 8 next week, and then we will take a breather until September when we tackle, and I can guarantee you we will understand completely the sovereignty of God. Do you believe that? That's something that is just going to absolutely bless our hearts. When we learn some things either that we haven't studied in a long time or some of us never understood it before. But when we put His grace and the cross in the sweep of God's timeline of history and see how He truly is in charge of every single hair on our head, every single breath we take, He knew this before the foundation of the world, and it is more than anyone who has ever walked in a human body on this planet can understand. And that's why Hebrews tells us that faith is in things unseen. And you can't see the faith that comes out of a heart, one way or another, until you, what? Watch what they do. What that heart directs them to do. The words that heart tells their brain to send to their mouth and use those words. Who's there and who isn't there. And where the center of a life is. And yes, you're going to hear me recite Proverbs 23 again, because we're going to prove one more time, as a man thinketh or believes in his heart, so he is. Can we say that together? I'm sounding like our pastor, aren't I?
That's a good thing.
Okay, well, we're going to say it together today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. King James Version, empirical. Spoken from Mount Zion in heaven. And it is true from Genesis chapter 1:1 through Revelation 22, all the way to even so come, Lord Jesus. Excuse me. This is pollen season in Atlanta. Okay, so at last chapter 8 started, remember? Therefore is now. Now, what has happened is to use the word therefore and now. What have we seen? Man locked up under sin with only the gospel that can save them. And it is the power of God unto salvation to all, period, right? No. Don't stop there. To all who believe. You see? So we have seen the need of the gospel. We've seen the performing of the gospel. And I say that because Christ, what is it? He was born. He suffered on the cross. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. Now I'm about to add to the word of God, okay? So get ready. He ascended into heaven, and what's the next step? He's coming again when every eye will see him. Of course, there's another little event that takes place before that, but that's not for everybody. So, as we look at this, let's understand where we are in this book, who the we's are, who is being discussed, who is the example Paul has used in this entire section of part two of our study. Who is the example? He's using himself, but he's using himself as a member of the body of who? Christ. So that includes all of us, believers. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because you were asked a question on the last day of this lesson, and so be careful how it's going to be taught, because it's going to support the answer back there. And I just may get you to raise your hand again, whether it's a yes or a no. That ought to run you under the table in fear. We're standing on the word, aren't we? And the promises. Okay? So as we went through this one more time, we were told to go back here and fill out this chart on page 75. And we're going to take a look at Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, and the first part of Romans 8. Okay. Tell me, if you can, all the ways that God has shown us this truth, the truth of the gospel, how it works in a human heart, who it saves, the gospel, and who it doesn't, the examples that Paul has used. He has used descriptive words, hasn't he? And we have seen those descriptive words, and we saw what was important about them because they were repeated. So he's used that method to show us what he's talking about. He's used it by example. He's used Adam. He's used Abraham. He's used David. He's used himself as examples. What were you so surprised when I showed you the reason that you know that chapter 7 is talking about Paul in his present form of salvation? What was the way I said, you know, you can absolutely cut the legs off of anybody that tries to falsely teach that this was talking about Paul before he was saved? What did I point out in the end of the lesson? Do you remember? Look at the verb tenses. Remember that? Now you know why it's important to pay attention to the details. Because when you look at those verb tenses throughout 5, 6, 7, and 8, they're all in the present. If he was talking about something in the past, he would have used the past tense of the verb, right? The only other tense he used was the future, the present future. And he used it all as an example. What does this show you about God? What does it show you about the perfection of the Word of God? You know, we've been, some of us, a lot longer than anybody else in the room, have been speaking in the English language. And we've been using all the forms of speech and all the words and all their tenses and all their modifiers. And, you know, we were taught all that. And yet when you just casually read through this or just do what it says and don't pay attention to the whole thing, you miss that, don't you? Now you know why Jesus said, no one will ever plumb the depths of my word. That's how perfect it is. And the only reason I'm bringing this out is to show you the sovereignty and the glory and the majesty and the ultimate superiority of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, known to us as the Trinity, as Jehovah God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is who has loved you enough to send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, die without him. Die unsaved, but have eternal life. This is how much. So as we set the stage now for what we're learning here and what we're going to start next fall, you need to understand this. Because when we start talking about his sovereignty, it helps to understand exactly what I've said this morning. This is who he is. In every detail that he's shown us, in every move Jesus Christ made on this earth that, and had so much of it recorded. But John said if he'd written everything, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it all. That's who saved us. So as we open this and we look one more time and we look at this lesson today and see how he's showing us how true this is, the saved and the lost, those are the two categories. You're either one way or the other. We're going to look at it by the position that God has placed us in. We're going to look at it by the deeds that these two hearts perform before and after. How we were all locked up in Adam to begin with. What we have been saved by faith alone. What has transformed us and reconciled us to God? Then we're going to turn around and look at who did it. And if every one of you don't apply this to what you hear out in that world the minute you walk out here and leave this fellowship of believing, beautiful ladies, brides of Christ, daughters of the King, citizens of heaven, saved by grace, the bride of Christ. That's who we are. But we're going to go out into a condemned world out there. And I want every time you hear something that does not line up with what we're going to see in this lesson today, to recognize that, just like sitting on your summer patio with that bug light up there and hear this go tss, 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 every time those mosquitoes fly into that light and get zapped. The truth is in that light. And we come to the light. And anyone that tries to come in that doesn't come by the narrow gate, who is Jesus Christ. Remember that sound. Tss, tss. And they've died without him. And there is no turning back, because it is appointed to men once to die, and then the judgment. I want to point out one more thing before we start. Anita, you'll never sit in front of me again, will you? It's the most dangerous chair in the room. When did you die?
When did I die?
Yes.
When I was saved.
That's the right question. Did everybody hear that?
Yes.
That's why I leaned in. I put my microphone in there. She died the moment she was saved. Who did she die to? Self. By faith in the Redeemer. And you saw it, that the justifier justified her according to the law of righteousness in Christ. No matter how hard she tries to wiggle out of that without even knowing it, she can't get out. Because she belongs to him now. And the moment she turned to him in faith, saw her sin after that, and I mean, there she was. You know what he called her? Blameless. Blameless. Do you know why he said blameless? Instead of righteous. It's not her righteousness, it's his that was credited to her. It's because this body of sin that we're dragging around with us right now, that's dead. The penalty of unbelief is death. That has been canceled and is nailed on the cross in Christ, paid in full by what he did on the cross. And that was decided before the foundation of the world. So this is how sure our salvation is. So when we go through this lesson here, let's look at these contrasts, because that's the thing he's going to show us. And Kay has had us do this exercise one more time, because we will look at this page and we will see total sin and darkness on the left-hand side, and we will see blessing and joy and glory and love and acceptance, forgiveness, all of those things from someone who loved us enough to provide a way for us to come to him. And so look at this, and it's really interesting, because I don't think Kay planned this at all. But if you look at this chart and you see that black line down the middle, look at the cross line up here. So if you see it without all the writing, it's the cross that bridged that gap. I told you I was a visual person. Now you know it. Half crazy probably, but that's okay. So as we look at this, we're going to look at Romans chapter